but you can play with augmented and virtual reality all day. You can play with artificial intelligence and start to think about how you can use that to make a more, you know, personalized and impactful experience for a consumer all day. So I always tell our brands and our marketers, don't focus on the buzz and on the hype and on the big words. Pay attention to those underlying technologies.
Welcome to the Next M Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Next M Podcast. My name is Shirin De Bruin, and today we meet Crystal Oliveri, the Global Chief Innovation Officer at Group M. Our topic, the metaverse and what it will mean for brands, businesses, and us humans. I'm looking forward to your thoughts and experiences. Welcome, Crystal.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about this topic.
What topics do you deal with on a daily basis that also keep the advertising world on its toes?
Ooh, I get to deal with a whole host of different topics. Leading innovation for Group M, for Choreograph, means that I get to sit at the intersection of data and media and really try to demystify things that are really hard to comprehend. So cover identity, the changes to the cookie-less future, artificial intelligence, generative AI, how we think about audiences, the metaverse, really every type of technology and trend that's impacting how we think about our future and how we need to organize our companies and set up for success.
As Global Chief Innovation Officer for both Choreograph and Group M, you have an exciting dual role. But Chris, could you please explain your job as Chief Innovation Officer in three simple bullet points? I know it's complex, but you can make it.
Yeah. I always say, when people ask me what I do, I say, I innovate. Really, my goal is to demystify, to educate, and to bring our marketers along on the journey to really understand the difference between what's hype and what's high potential, in the most simple terms.
Yeah. So before we go into detail, let's get an overview. How do you define a metaverse? What does it mean to you?
Ooh. For Group M, we define the metaverse as a virtual experience that replicates human social behaviors, so going to a concert, shopping, playing games. We'll live in multiple iterations, which I think is a controversial one because there was a lot of goal to have one or many. We think that the metaverse, for a period of time, will live in multiple iterations. And really, most importantly, it's where a lot of Gen Z consumers today are spending their time. So for us, it is this immersive internet-fueled experience that ties, you know, a lot of three-dimensional technologies, artificial intelligence, all together to change the way consumers are engaging with the internet.
Since innovative products and solutions have been your profession for a long time, I have to ask you, 20 years ago, Second Life started, but it didn't work so well. What was the reason why Second Life didn't take off then? And why do you think it could be different today with the metaverse?
Oh, Second Life.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite.
I remember that.
What a weird game. A few reasons. I think a lot of it also had to do with the rudimentary nature of those technologies at the time. Second Life got real weird in there at some point. We lost. There was no notion of brand safety. There was no notion of responsibility. And it was pretty limited in terms of what you could actually do. I think the difference today is, and I really hope we don't recreate a Second Life, but the difference today is that you're actually able to connect and have experiences that go above and beyond what you could do in a game. You can actually attend a Travis Scott concert. You can actually buy a product and have the physical product show up to your house. It is that extension back between the real world and the virtual world that is the big shift between the Second Lives of the world and this version today, because it really just is a changing portal into the connection between virtual and physical.
The metaverse is like a parallel universe, right? So which, of course, means that we have completely new possibilities in this new world that also applies to the way brands interact with people, doesn't it? So what opportunities do you see for brands that are already considering a metaverse strategy?
There are so many. So I talk about this a lot. You don't necessarily have to believe in cryptocurrency or Web3 technologies to believe in the notion of a more immersive internet. And our definition of the metaverse really is around that more immersive experience. A I talk about my little brothers a lot. They're video game nerds. I joke all the time. They love their video games. Fortnite isn't just a place they play video games. They're hanging out with their friends. That's their Friday night. They are hearing things they might want to buy. They're experiencing things that they wouldn't normally experience. They're living life through this portal. And I think that's really fascinating because for a brand, we have this entire generation of consumer that's growing up digitally savvy and fully immersed. Their expectation of the internet and of storytelling is just going to be really different. So I think about the day that these kids that are growing up playing Roblox go to an e-commerce website for the first time and they want to try on the shirt or like understand what's happening. And they're so disappointed by the fact that it's just this static two-dimensional image and a link. And that's what that's the opportunity for marketers is really how do we start to reimagine our storytelling using these technologies? And of course, there's activations inside of these worlds and we're seeing brands do amazing work. But those brands are generally authentic to those experiences. So not every brand needs to dive fully into Roblox if it doesn't make sense. It's understanding the technologies and how it can actually transform your engagement and relationship with consumers.
Yeah. So do you have any exciting examples of brands in the metaverse?
One of my favorite examples, I do love a lot of the work that Nike's done with Roblox. I think that's really interesting. Sky also has been a really great one. But we've seen so many different examples. So it all depends on sort of your flavor du jour and where your pathway is. In a Web3.0 version of a metaverse and these types of experiences, I think Adidas has been really interesting as well. So there's so many examples, but it comes into the most interesting examples are when you tie authenticity and relevancy together to create something that the average consumer wouldn't have connected, but feels really right in that moment. And it creates an experience, not an advertisement.
Will the metaverse be more of a B2C or B2B topic in the future? What scenarios do you see for the future?
I don't think that a consumer thinks about the metaverse in the same way we as brands obsessed over it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're straight up like, I'm going to go play Roblox. You know, they're thinking like, I'm going to go do this thing. I think that the metaverse is a very B2B adjective. Like we're using that phrase, but it's very much a B2B definition. I think for consumers, it's just how they engage with the internet. And they just want to go do play cool games, hang out with their friends, shop, experience things they might not have gotten to experience. Mm-hmm. And they're not thinking, wow, now I'm playing a game versus now I'm in the metaverse versus now I'm searching the internet. They're just thinking about the output that they're trying to get, which is entertainment, joy, information.
Yeah. Would you think metaverse is also a B2B field or is it really just B2C?
So it's interesting. You know what? Transparently, I have not explored as much how B2Bs could come to life. But actually, as I'm saying that, I'm thinking about CES. And when I talk about B2B and I'm thinking about CES, we saw brands like P&G, for example, set up these mini metaverse worlds to be able to engage with and help other marketers understand what they were thinking about. It wasn't for your average consumer. It really was for marketers in the space, for people to go around and play. They had consumer-facing components. But for marketers, we were also like, oh, interesting. And other businesses were looking at that and engaging with it. So I think there is a world for both. It goes back to creative storytelling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So why do you think artificial intelligence is the next game changer for the future of advertising in the metaverse?
Artificial intelligence is one of my favorite topics.
Tell us about it.
Because artificial intelligence has been going on since the 1950s. And it's only in the last 20 some odd years that computational processing, so the ability to actually crunch data and process data, has become extremely accessible through cloud, has become cost effective. And it's allowed us to really make significant advancements in a short period of time. There are parallels to the metaverse, because in the same way that's happening for artificial intelligence, which, by the way, is a technology fueling the metaverse, graphic processing has also been a benefit or a benefactor of this innovation. The fact that we don't need to wear a headset to have this fully immersive experience shows that these technologies emerging and like growing has hit this inflection point. Artificial intelligence is scary. It can be scary, but if you think about it in a very academic way, it's training algorithms to better understand data and make more informed, you know, predictions and capabilities. Like, for me, artificial intelligence is automation. It's solving complex problems. It's, of course, generative AI is falling into that bucket too, but it's so broad. And it's powering so much of what we do today, and people don't even know it. Group M said last year 50% of all advertising would be powered by artificial intelligence by 2032. Sorry, 90%. 50% is now, is the hypothesis.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
90% by 2032. And they're not wrong, because artificial intelligence is such a big term.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why is it fueling the metaverse now? It's really accessible now. And there's common linkages between what it can do and how it can help benefit and create a consumer experience. And I think that's what's really powerful about what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Is it conceivable that one day we will be able to use AI to build our own metaverse so that we all see different environments tailored to us? It's a slightly creepy idea, I think.
It can balance a line between cool and creepy really fast.
Uh-huh. What do you
think? But I don't necessarily think no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like personalization, I guess, 4.0, I'll say. Maybe mm-hmm. we're in the 2.0 world now, but that is its own experience. Like, if I walked into a metaverse mm-hmm. or an online forum, I'll use Adidas as an example. But if I go to the Adidas website and my friend goes to the Adidas website, we may be going for two very different reasons.
Right.
I love the Ivy Park line. I like their crazy jackets and their fun sneakers. I'm not going for running shoes. When they bring a Web 3.0, or I'm sorry, when they bring a metaverse world to me, it could be that I see things differently, and it could be that there's different stars in there, athletes in there representing, because those are the things I'm drawn to. You know, I'd be more drawn to a Beyonce inside of the metaverse than I would be to probably most athletes. So I love that idea, but it would have to be done in a privacy safe way and with
exactly.
consent and opt-in. Because it would be really creepy if they knew all that and did that, and I had no idea how it happened as a consumer.
Exactly. Ooh, are you already active in the metaverse?
I always play around with all different technologies. Mm-hmm. I'm an interesting breed, though. I don't spend a lot of time actually living in that day-to-day. I really like the real world.
Mm-hmm.
So I also wonder if maybe our jobs are so connected to the computers mm-hmm. that when I have my free time, I actually prefer to spend my free time not playing around in that. I will tell you, though, I recently bought a video game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Hogwarts fan, Harry Potter fan. I bought the new Hogwarts game. It's not fully a metaverse because it's you can't interact with others. But boy, was I blown away by that experience and by the quality and the artificial intelligence powering responses and just the graphic capabilities. And I walked away from that game. I spent like 30 hours playing it the first week that I got it. And I walked away and I was like, I get it now. I get why, if you had a friend on the other side, why you could just live in this world. It felt that real. It was amazing. So not as much, but it's also hard to, it all depends on your definition of the metaverse too.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I really like Harry Potter too. So, okay. That could be a
big
good
fan.
Try for me. You have to tell me later. Great. So our motto this season is play the future. Hence my last question to you is, what advice do you have for marketeers regarding the metaverse?
Don't get caught in the buzz. We're in like the trough of disillusionment, I would say, if you're thinking about Gardner's hype cycle. And we don't fully know. Do I believe there's going to be sort of one metaverse for all? Probably not. Not anytime. Not in the next decade. It's going to be a long way. Do I think that there are emerging technologies and scaled technologies that can fundamentally change how brands engage with consumers digitally? Yes. And that is what I recommend for every brand. You don't need to play with crypto if you don't want to. And in fact, right now, I would say it needs more regulation. We need to watch what happens there. But you can play with augmented and virtual reality all day. You can play with artificial intelligence and start to think about how you can use that to make a more, you know, personalized and impactful experience for a consumer all day. So I always tell our brands and our marketers, don't focus on the buzz and on the hype and on the big words. Pay attention to those underlying technologies and how you can use those technologies to transform your business, to transform your e-marketing or your e-retail experiences, but to just transform the way in which you engage and provide value to consumers. Because that's really the power. And when you break apart the big term of the metaverse, it goes back to those foundational building blocks of technology. And regardless of how you package them up, whether it's the metaverse or it's something else, those technologies unlock the future. And that's really what I tell all of our marketers to pay attention to more than anything else.
Thank you, Crystal, for sharing your insights. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
We hope that this episode of the Next M podcast has shown you the importance of shaping the future rather than just reacting to it. We thank you for listening and look forward to you tuning in again. True to our motto, play the future. Goodbye.